Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 127, beginning at verse 1. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with their enemies in the gate. Then going on to Psalm 128. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. All of Psalm 127 and Psalm 128. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the gift, the wisdom that your word gives us daily about every issue, every concern, every matter in life. Thank you for the gift of family, the gift of relationships. And thank you for the many ways our lives are blessed and empowered and enriched as your grace flows through our families and our relationships. Lord, more and more help us to glorify you as men and women of God, as boys and girls, as grandfathers and grandmothers, as believers called to serve you within the home and within the family. Anoint and prosper us today. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. As always, we appreciate you listening. I'd like to invite you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We would really, really appreciate that. I want to invite you to take time also to go to our website, afr.net. Again, that's afr.net. On the website, you'll find both broadcast. You can listen to the AFR, the network, live, as well as you can find lots of podcasts of the different broadcasts on the network. And if you maybe missed one or you just want to go back and listen to one again, whether it be the Hour of Intercession, this broadcast, or any other broadcast on the AFR network, you can take the time to do that. We do have an AFR app as well we'd like to invite you to download so that you can listen to Urban anywhere you may choose to go. Also, we encourage you to stay up to date in the latest in the culture war from the news team of One News Now, our news department. And you can use the One News Now mobile app as well. It's free. And you can download it from your phone's app store. Hope you'll take time to do that. Again, that's One News Now and the One News Now mobile app from your app store. I'm blessed today to have as my co-host today, Jade Hollifield. Holyfield, I'm sorry.
It'll go both ways. It's Hollyfield. Well, we answer to both.
That's right. That's right. But it's always a privilege to have Jade to come in and
thank
be with
you,
us.
Thank you, Pastor Parker.
Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for letting me.
And we're blessed and honored to have as our phone guest today, Laura Petherbridge. She's the author of the book, The Smart Stepmom, a book she has authored along with Ron L. Deal. Laura, how are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us. And I'm going to ask if you'll take a moment now to just further introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit more about you before we get into talking about the smart stepmom, practical steps to help you thrive.
Yes. Well, I grew up in Western New York near Niagara Falls, New York, near Canada. And my parents divorced when I was 8 years old. So I pretty much had one goal in my life growing up, and that was that I would never be divorced. Mm-hmm. And so I knew about God growing up. We did go to church, but I didn't know anything about having a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. I knew a reverence for him, but I didn't know anything about having a tenderness with him. Mm-hmm. And so when I was in my early 20s, my brother started attending a small little Pentecostal church, And he started coming home talking about Jesus and giving money to the church and carrying a big King James Bible. And I thought for sure he was in a cult.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to that church with him to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
And while I was there, God just touched me and led me to understand about surrendering my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was about 24 when I gave my life to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then I married when I was 26 to a man I thought was a Christian. And shortly after that, he decided he did not want to be married anymore, and he did not want to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
So I had been deceived, and that marriage ended. So the worst of the worst, in my opinion, had happened to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because the very thing I did not want was to end up divorced, and here I was, a divorced woman.
Mm-hmm.
So later on, a few years later, I met and married a man with two sons, and we have been married next month. It'll be 34 years.
Wow.
And so I have two stepsons and a husband. We live near Atlanta, Georgia. And I've been in ministry about 30 years now.
Okay.
So that's a Reader's Digest version of me.
All right. Okay. Well, as I mentioned, Jade is co-hosting with us today. And Jade happens to be a stepmom as well.
I am.
So she's going to have some really good questions.
I knew.
As
I'm
well.
Like,
so.
Well, I am curious. How old were you when you met your husband of 34 years?
I was almost 30.
Wow. So 30 years, no children, just you being single as a bird, and then boom.
Yes. That's tough. And see, I had two stepmoms growing up, so I thought when I married him, oh, I got this stepmom thing down because I've had two stepmoms. I know what they did that was good, what they did that wasn't good. So this is no big deal. I know how to do this. And then the reality hit.
Okay. Well, as we look at the book, The Smart Stepmom, Practical Steps to Help You Thrive, the first question I just want to ask is, you know, it's many persons listening may think to themselves, well, this is a topic that doesn't directly touch me, and it's not a topic that's really a concern to me, or they may think, this is just something that just, it's for somebody else, it's not for me. But the reality is, I want to ask if you'll say a word about what the Bible has to say or address when it comes to step families.
Yes, that's a very interesting topic. It can be a bit of a complex topic.
Mm-hmm.
The Old Testament is jam-packed, filled with step families.
Mm-hmm.
We see it all the way through, you know, Abraham, right on down, King David, Joseph. I mean, almost everybody we look to in the Old Testament, we can see where they are part of a step family. Now, we don't always call it that,
mm-hmm.
and the culture was so different back then because God did allow men to take more than one wife back then,
mm-hmm.
or have children with more than one wife, and that can sometimes be a controversial issue. Most theologians believe the reason for that is because women weren't allowed to work, women weren't allowed to provide for themselves,
mm-hmm.
and so they needed a man to protect them from mm-hmm. being able to provide for their children, from going into prostitution or things like that. So the culture was very different,
mm-hmm.
but the complexities that we see in the Old Testament with step families is exactly the same as what we see today.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, the Old Testament is jam-packed with step families.
Okay. Okay. Well, your book, this particular book, The Smart Stepmom, it focuses specifically on stepmoms. Why is there a need for a book specifically for the stepmom rather than the stepparent per se?
Because we go through more.
That's true. there's a couple reasons for that.
Okay.
Number one, 85% of books that are purchased are for women,
mm-hmm.
so are bought by women. So publishers are going to naturally gravitate to the female audience just
mm-hmm.
because that's who purchases.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is similar to what Jade was just saying, is that stepmoms are the ones seeking a resource.
Mm-hmm.
Very few stepdads are normally looking for help. Number three, the stepmom role is exceedingly more complicated than the stepdad role. Kids in general embrace a stepdad much more quickly than they do a stepmom. Mm-hmm. So her needs and her wants and her voice is unique, and she has a very hard time finding a place to go with other women who understand what she's going through.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Laura, before we move forward, I want to ask if you'll take a moment now to pray for our listeners to really have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit may say to them, because, you know, obviously there are those persons that may be involved in a step family that could expect that they can greatly benefit from our discussion today. But there are truths and insights that you're going to share that can bless any believer that has ears to hear. Would you pray for our listeners to really be listening to what the Holy Spirit says to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely. Holy God, we just bow before you today. And we know that you are the answer to every complexity. Mm-hmm. There is no situation that is too difficult for you. You are the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-wise God. And so no matter where we find ourselves today, we may be associated to a step family by being a grandparent or a sister or a brother or a stepmom, stepdad, even stepchildren. We find ourselves with more step families today in the United States than any other time in history. And so, Lord, we seek your face. We seek the mind of Christ so that we might handle these complex circumstances with the love and compassion and grace and wisdom that can only come from you, oh God. We know nothing without your wisdom and power. And so I pray a divine covering over every person hearing this today, Lord, that you would cover their family, that you would heal anything that divorce has done, that not following you has done, that any poor choice that is being made, any child that has been wounded, oh God, we pray your covering and that the blood of Jesus Christ would cover and heal these families and that their ears would be open to hear a new way to approach you and a new way to handle their step family that they may have never thought of before. And so we seek your face, God. We trust you. We know that you know. In the holy name of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Laura. Okay, Jade, you were going to start off with
Laura. Okay, I feel like I know Laura because I have seen so many videos of you on YouTube. I have your book. I'm still going through it myself, and I follow you on Facebook. Laura, my question for you, you know, many stepmoms are shocked by the complex issues that they encounter. I know I was. And in the beginning, mm-hmm. I just thought, oh, we'll make it. It'll be fine. I love him. He loves me, you know. But I did not. There were so many things I didn't even think about asking. We went through premarital, but I will say I wish we would have found someone who could do premarital who was an expert in blended families, and we did not. So due to that, we weren't prepared at all. So there was a lot of things we were shocked on, especially myself. So my question is,
we're going to have to jump in and we'll pick up with the question on the other side of the break, okay?
Thanks a lot.
Phone guest today is Laura Petherbridge, the author of The Smart Stepmom. We'll be right back after this break.
Falling apart. We as a nation have totally forsaken. Oh, Lord, forgive us. Heal our land as we turn our faces back toward you.
Fred Hammond, the song If My People. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. My co-host today is Jade Holyfield, and our phone guest today is Laura Petherbridge. She's the author of the book, the co-author of the book, The Smart Stepmom, Practical Steps to Help You Thrive. The break just jumped in a very tough spot there. So would you restate your question, Jade?
Absolutely.
And we'll let Laura respond.
Okay. Yes. So my sister Laura, I love you so much. You are just full of wisdom, and I thank God for you and your ministry. My question was, I got married at 27, and before we got married, I honestly didn't have a clue of all the stuff that we were going to encounter. My question is, many stepmoms are shocked by the complex issues they encounter. Why is it that we didn't recognize it? I know for me, I feel like we didn't have a good premarital counseling for blendedness. He counseled us concerning marriage, but not the blended aspect, which is a huge part of our marriage. So why do you think many stepmoms are shocked by, oh my goodness, what's going on?
I think what you stated is, I think the church in general doesn't understand that second marriage is radically different than first marriage, or marriage with a child from a previous relationship. Sometimes the couple wasn't married
that
anymore.
Was us.
They just are coming in with a child.
Right.
And so because of that, they do not address the stepfamily complexities. And many times it's just because they're very naive that a marriage with children is radically different than a marriage with no children involved. And so I think the reason we're so ambushed by all of that is that we just had no idea. Nobody told us. Nobody explained it. Now, I will say there are numerous couples that I try to help and explain it to before they get married, and they are totally resistant to what I have to say, because they don't want to believe it's true. They just assume it's going to be like a first-time marriage. They've got it in their head, well, we love Jesus, we love each other, we're not going to have those issues. And so sometimes they're just digging their heels in, and they aren't teachable. And those are the ones that normally contact me about 6 months later and say, okay, everything you told us was true, we weren't willing to hear it, tell us what to do now.
Wow.
That's heavy. And at the same time, you know, Laura, I think of this, that you touched on the fact that often the church is naive about the issue. You know, often you'll find that, you know, pastoral counseling, the pastors themselves typically probably haven't been through it and don't realize, just like you said, how complex an issue it is and how much additional grace you may have to deal with as it relates to a step family.
It's not the Brady Bunch. Mm-hmm. It's
and
not the Brady
parenting
Bunch.
Role. See, the way we teach people in the church to parent is fine for first-time marriages. Mm-hmm. But in second marriages, it often is gasoline on the fire.
My Lord. Mm-hmm.
And so it really, you know, part of my job is to help educate pastors and churches and leaders, because I don't think they're doing it intentionally. I think they just don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just need someone to teach them.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I think of this alluding once again to from the Old Testament, the story of Jacob and his 12 sons. Well, you know, when you really examine that story, you find out that, like, for example, the reality is Joseph he clearly had a favorite son. Now, the fact is they had, his sons had different mothers. Well,
yes. It
came to the place where they literally wanted to kill their brother and fully intended to do it, but they changed their mind, just decided, well, he is our brother. We won't kill him. Let's sell him off as a slave. But the reality is that family dealt with some of the complexities of a step family, which sometimes, as you said, Laura, people don't take into consideration the dynamics of what's going on. So it's powerful to consider that.
And it's a great illustration also of how step siblings don't always get along. See, the couple thinks, oh, our kids will just blend. They'll love each other and everybody's going to be fine. And then they add an hours baby, you know, a child. Joseph was the hours baby. You know, he was the one that came from, you know, the two that they loved each other and wanted. That was the original union that should have been. And so, you know, they end up hating this kid because the father is so crazy in love with him. And so that is not an uncommon scenario at all.
Wow.
That step siblings will really resent an hours baby. Not always, doesn't happen every time, but I just coached a couple yesterday where the mom is heartbroken because the stepkids are not embracing her 1-year-old child that she just had. They don't want anything to do with them.
Wow.
And she's just heartbroken over it. That's very common.
Can I say this to Laura? Because I respect you, my sister, but I know one of your chapters where you talk about whether or not when a couple, because we're at that place where we're like, we're about to have one. Well, I feel, and I know that like you and I've heard, I think I've even heard Ron, and I think Dr. Dobson even said, you know, you should consider the siblings before adding in hours. But for me, I'm just kind of like, I can't let my child run my life. You know, like I can't let my husband's big on that. And I'm so thankful. Like he's like, you know, my stepdaughter, she's going to be grown and out the house one day, you know, and I know that still can be tough, but am I making sense?
Yes.
Like we can't.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And these kids, they think they run stuff.
Give up bearing a child just because it might hurt the stepchild. And I think that, number one, knowing you as the little bit that I do, you're going to pray about it and wait until God tells you the timing is right.
Right.
And number two, and of course, as women, our biological clock can dictate that sometimes too. I think that there are ways to add an hours baby that make the situation better and make it worse. So just like you were saying, adding an hours baby has to be done very gently with the right timing. I don't think a stepmom should have to sacrifice not having a baby at all if she and her husband reviewed that before they got married and both agreed about adding the hours baby.
Right.
I don't think she should have to give that up. I just think she needs to be very careful of when and how they do that. And that she needs to extend a lot of grace to her husband to have alone time with the stepchild. So it's not going to be a normal baby situation where dad can be there 24/7. He's got to be able to have some one-on-one with his first child without the stepmom, without the new baby, so that the child does not feel they have been abandoned because of the new child. So there are ways to do it that can ease the grief for the stepchild, and there are ways that make it worse for the stepchild.
So there's some heavy issues to be considered in this situation.
That's good.
So, now, Laura, you have one chapter that's, in fact, chapter two is entitled, Can I Run Away From Home? And it's we're not talking about a child here. It says you share in the early years that you often felt like running away from home. Why does a stepmom sometimes dream about walking away from this situation?
My Lord.
Yep. It is because it is so different than what she thought it was going to be. She is ambushed by so many emotions that she didn't see coming. It just feels like a tsunami of emotions. Stepmoms often tell me they feel like an outsider in their very own home, that they sit in the driveway after getting home from work, turn the car off and just sit in their driveway thinking, do I really have to go in the house? Mm-hmm. So there's this sense of loneliness and this sense of, I don't belong here. I'm not part of this circle. And they just didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
They didn't realize the complexities of dealing with the ex-wife, the other mother, the other partner, whether they were married or not, the mother to the stepchildren. She didn't realize that woman was going to have so much of an influence in her own home.
My Lord.
She didn't realize that she's not supposed to discipline this child, that should be left to the biological parent. And if the dad was not a good single parent with discipline before they got married, it's only going to get worse after they got married. Mm-hmm. So there's just all these issues that rise up, and she's thinking to herself, what have I done? What did I get myself into? This is not what I signed up for. And that makes us want to run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Laura, I guess as you share more of the insight that you're sharing as it relates to the book, you know, there's so many different issues that seem like it appears the issues are multiplying as we move forward into the topics of the book.
This should be about 2, 3, 4, 5 shows.
If someone's listening, they want to get the book, how can they get it?
Amazon is the cheapest. You know, wherever you buy books, it is with a major publishing house. And I actually have 3 books for stepmoms. The one you're talking about is The Smart Stepmom. That's written with Ron Deal. That was the first. And that has a lot of biblical content in it. So if you're someone is looking for, you know, a lot of biblical insight along with the stepfamily, that one's the one to get. The second one I wrote is 101 Tips for the Smart Stepmom. And that one's a little shorter, briefer book, and it covers topics we didn't cover in the first one, such as the full-time stepmom, the childless stepmom, how to handle holidays. So that one's more bite-sized little pieces. Every chapter ends with a prayer, so there still is biblical insight in there, but it's just not as deep into the Old Testament as the first book is.
Mm-hmm.
So they can go anywhere that you normally buy books. Amazon is the cheapest, and you can just pull up my name. It'll show you everything I've written.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Again, the title is The Smart Stepmom, Practical Steps to Help You Thrive, written by Laura Petherbridge and Ron L. Deal. You know, I noticed you mentioned that there's a prayer at the end of each chapter, and, you know, something, I'm going to ask you to comment on the fact that why it's so important that couples are very, very prayerful in seeking the Lord at every step as they move forward in their relationships.
I think it's really the only way, and God did this intentionally, that we, you know, you can start to view your spouse as the enemy when you're in any marriage, but in particular in a stepfamily marriage, you start to square off. It becomes him and his kids, and me and my kids, or me alone over in the other corner. And it's very easy, even after you add that hours, baby, to sort of feel like, okay, I'm going to hide over here in my corner with my kid where I feel safe, and he's over there in his corner with his kids. And there can almost be a sense of being enemies within the same home. Mm. And so the only thing that tears down that kind of animosity, in my opinion, and that kind of tool of the evil one
to separate
you, begins you to push you apart to different corners, is to go to God and ask him. I'm a big fan of praying for the mind of Christ.
Yeah.
God, help me to think like you think. Right now, my mind is going in a million directions that I know don't line up with you. My emotions are driving my mind, and I need to think like Jesus right now. So will you please show us how to think like Jesus?
Right.
And so we've got to come together as a couple and put him back in the center, put him back in the heart of our relationship, have him teach us, okay, we are enemies. We aren't on two different sides. We're on the same side. And we have to link arms and work on this together. Mm-hmm. And prayer breaks down that animosity, that anger, that like nothing else. I mean, when you Amen. Pray for somebody, it's very hard to hate them and pray for them at the same time. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of those tools that God gives us to humble us and to bring us back to our senses, like the prodigal son, you know, bring Amen. Me back to my senses. Mm-hmm. And so
Ooh, Lord.
That's the power of prayer.
Girl, I'm over here trying to refrain myself because you are just, I want to shout. Because another thing that I will say, my husband said this once, and I said, man, I said, babe, I said, babe, I feel like I'm being sanctified twice. Sanctification with you and sanctification as a stepmom. And then he said, honestly, babe, we're all being sanctified, even my daughter, referring to my stepdaughter. And I was like, that's so true. And because one thing, another thing that we do is I'm big on exposing the evil one. One day, our first Christmas, it was hard, Laura. It was hard, yes. sister. 10 days straight. Yep. I wasn't used to her. She wasn't used to me. My husband, he was like, I'm comfortable with both of you. I'm like, well, we're not comfortable with each other. And Mother Nature was on for my stepdaughter. Oh, man, are you serious?
Jay, we'll yep. pick up there right on the other side of the break, okay? Our phone guest today is Laura Petherbridge. She's the author of The Smart Stepmom, Practical Steps to Help You Thrive. We'll be right back. Music from the Walls Group, the song All Praise Goes to You. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Our phone guest today is Laura Petherbridge. She's the author of the book, The Smart Stepmom, and my co-host is Jade Holifield. And Jade, we had to cut your question in half once again, so we'll pick up where we left off here.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Pastor Parker. So, Laura, what I was asking was, our very first Christmas together was really, really hard. It was 10 days straight, my first time being around her that long, like same with her, with me, my stepdaughter. And my husband was like, I feel comfortable with both of you. And so one thing that we did quite a bit, and I know I was led by the Holy Spirit, was exposing the evil one. And so we had a come to Jesus meeting, which now we starting to have them regularly, which my husband now likes, because he and my stepdaughter are introverts. I'm the extrovert. Who would have thought? Anyways, yeah. I'm going to get to the point. And so we exposed the evil one. And all of a sudden, my stepdaughter, who's not really an emotional child, she starts crying and she says, I just wish my parents were back together. Now, her mom and dad, my husband and her mom, were not married. So I'm very territorial. Even if they were married, he's my husband. And so I explained to her how, you know, he's my husband. I understand. I got emotional, too, because I'm like, that's my man. And plus, her parents have been apart for 8 years. Well, I never forget my husband said this to her, which was so profound. And the Lord is doing a work in our entire family still, of course. And he said, because she said that she had been praying for so long, but it never happened. And he said, well, God did answer your prayer. He answered it by my wife with Jade. That's how God answered the prayer. In other words, he was saying sometimes an answered prayer is not what we desire. But if you could speak on that, because holiday season has been a difficult time for us, because I do a lot for me personally feel alone, even though my husband includes me. It's just that disconnect because I did not birth her. And she has been groomed in a way that my children won't be groomed. And her mom and I are completely different. So it is a challenge. And I know Thanksgiving and everything is coming up. But yeah, what would be your words of encouragement for those blended families?
First of all, it's so wise for anybody entering a remarriage or a situation with children to understand that the children always want their biological parents back together, just as you mentioned. Now, this is a real rub for us stepmoms. We don't like hearing that.
No.
Because it's our husband who had a baby with another woman. And so this is a huge rub for us. This is, all we have to do is look at Hagar and Sarah in the Old Testament, and we can see all the way back to the olden days how the baby mama and the wife are rubbing against each other, and it's sandpaper. So it's very common, but if we're going to have a healthy, good, thriving stepfamily, the stepmom or the stepdad even has to take a step back and remove their emotions from that and recognize the child isn't intentionally trying to, throw water on the step parent. They are merely stating their heart's desire. I wish I had a home with my mother and my father. I don't like this. And so we as step parents have got to take a step back and stop resenting the stepchild. And I'm not saying that's what you did, but I'm resenting that the stepchild wants their biological parents back together. And we have to accept that and say it's normal, it's natural, it's a child, and it's a desire of their heart. And see, a lot of stepmoms fight that. They give me a really hard time when I say that. It's not to downplay your role as the stepmom. It's to see the situation through the eyes of the child,
right,
so that God can help you to understand what's happening. So that is the first step. And there's several great resources out there that can help a stepmom with that. And you can go on my Facebook page or whatever. I'm constantly posting that. The Smart Stepmom is my website and my Facebook page, The Smart Stepmom. So that answers that. But the holidays is a whole nother thing, and you really need to prepare for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And it's a good time for us to be talking about that because they're just around the corner. And I have two full chapters on this, so, read as much as you want. I have blogs on it for free on my website. And it's so important to start preparing for the holidays, in particular, if it's your first or one of the first holidays you're going to be spending with the stepkids, because it is complex, it's tense. Everybody wants a Norman Rockwell Christmas, and stepfamilies, that's very rare. And it can cause a lot of tension and fighting and angst, and it really is a time you need to think about before it comes quickly on your back door. So that's my initial advice.
Okay.
I love it.
Well, Laura, I want to ask this now. In listening to you, I guess it seems with every passing moment, more and more it helps me realize step families need to pray. And, I think, of course, the reality is everybody in life needs to pray, to be quite honest. But you bring out the fact that there are some unique challenges that can be very, very heavy challenges when you're dealing with a step family. And your book does a powerful job of drawing out those points. I was just looking through some of the quotes that you had from chapter 2, where one of them says, "I traveled to a foreign country many years ago, and my own home now reminds me of the isolation I felt there." Another one says, "My husband and his kids laugh and reminisce over old times while my kids and I sit on the sidelines. We have discussed this many times, but he feels that they should have him on the weekends." And then finally, "My husband and his daughters have such a strong bond that I will never be a part of, and it makes me feel like an outsider in my own home." And these are just a few of the quotes that you draw out in the book. But it draws out some of the major challenges that are just going to sometimes be there.
Well, Pastor Parker, I can tell you with absolute certainty that it was prayer that got me to a place of surrender in this stepmom role, that I had to finally go to God and say, this marriage is not going to make it if I don't change my thinking.
Oh, Lord.
If I don't change my attitude, if I don't change my actions, this is I'm going to be in a second divorce. Because this is not what I signed up for, and I am so angry and hurt and resentful. And so, God, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I know you hate divorce. And I stood before you and said, I do. And that meant I do what's best for his kids also.
Yeah.
So, Lord, I need you to change me. I need you to make me like Christ.
Yes, Lord.
Because if left to my own way, it's going to get very ugly around here. And, Lord, I need to become like Christ. And I tell stepmoms and anyone who will listen that being a stepmom has made me more like Christ than any other experience in my life. Because it is total sacrifice.
Yes. Come on, Laura.
There's one sacrifice after another. It is going to God in prayer constantly saying, I don't know how to make one more sacrifice here. But you do. Well, you did nothing but sacrifice. And so if you did it, you tell me I can have the mind of Christ. I have the Holy Spirit in me.
Yes, Lord.
And that means he can teach me how to be just like you. And I had to give up the hope and the dream that I was one day going to get praised or get a plaque or get a banner or get a big, you know, award.
Or kiss or hug.
A good stepmom.
That's all I be wanting sometime when I walk in. I just want a hug, you know. But you don't get that as a stepmom because she doesn't feel that way towards you, or he.
That's right. And God told me, you have to stop doing this for the step kids. You need to do this for your husband and for me. You have to do this surrender to me for your husband, for the holiness of marriage, and for me, because it's what I'm calling you to do.
My Lord.
And stop expecting your stepkids to be happy that you're in the picture. Stop. I'm not saying that they can't. They should be disrespectful. That they're allowed to abuse you. I'm not saying any of that. I am saying stop expecting them to be happy or proud or glad that you are in the picture.
Right.
Because that may never happen.
Can I just say this?
Do it for me, Law. Do it for me. Would you love me enough to do it for me? And that is when I surrendered.
Well, I just wanted to say, Laura, I've only been in this for 2 years. I recently got to what you just said, and that is just facing the reality of, I even told the Lord, I may not ever feel like this is my family. Because I didn't create it. But this is the family that God has blessed me with, if that makes sense. And I love what you said about surrendering, because I have had to, like, I have grown in my prayer walk because of this blended life. And I'm thankful for that. And like Mother's Day, which I know we don't have time to get on that. Like, I did not like my first Mother's Day. I'm like, I am not a mother. Her mom is. I am a mother figure when she's with me, but her mother has done more sacrifice. But I love what you said. I told my husband one day, I said, you know, me as a step-parent, when it comes to doing things, I have to prepare my mind because it is sacrificial. Whereas a parent, a biological, from the best that I can empathize with a biological parent, it's a natural thing for them to do something for their kid, you know, to leave work if they're sick. With me, I got to prepare my mind. I love her. I have love for her and I care for her, but I've never experienced a biological somebody coming from my loins. And so I love what you said. I feel like a step parent to me, for all you step parents that's listening, I feel like it is the most sanctifying position you can ever be in. I feel like I'm being sanctified maybe even more than my husband. I don't know, but it is very much sacrificial. And I'm just, this interview is just making me appreciate the position God has placed me in because he's pruning me to be more like my Savior.
Laura, share Absolutely. With our listeners one more time how they can get the book if they wish to.
You can go to my website, thesmartstepmom.com, thesmartstepmom.com, and I host events for stepmoms, for step couples. That's where the real change happens, is that they come, they're around other people that are in the same setting, we pray together, we work together, and so all of that information is on thesmartstepmom.com.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Laura. Our time is just about gone. It just flew by here, but thank you so much for what you shared. And you know, I think of this, a movie some people may or may not be aware of, but it's a movie that came out many years ago called Love Comes Softly. It does a powerful job of showing how it was just one child, but the little girl declares war on her new stepmom. But by the grace of God, God gave the mother a breakthrough which brought the young lady around. Well, of course, the fact is every family is different, but your book does a wonderful job of helping us to understand that with God's help, we can begin to see victory. So thank you so much for being with us today. Any final word you want to share before we leave?
Thank you for having a heart for step families. Many pastors and churches don't. So I just want to say thank you for loving the ones that are often ostracized in the church. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you again for writing the book and just being a good role model that others can learn and draw from. So thank you. Thank you again for being with us today.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right. And thank you, Jade, for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Park. I have so many more questions, though. I think you should have her on again.
Okay. Well, we'll look into that. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. As always, we appreciate you listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.